Dear friends, in the last 2 minutes of the previous episode, we talked about an idea which has been shown in the form of a diagram in the book, which is an example of a space-time diagram. So, using this procedure, observers who are moving relative to each other will assign different times and positions to the same event. No particular observer's measurements are any more correct than any other observer's, but all the measurements are related. Any observer can work out precisely what time and position any other observer will assign to an event, provided he knows the other observer's relative velocity. Nowadays, we use just this method to measure distance precisely, because we can measure time more accurately than length. In effect, the meter is defined to be the distance traveled by light in 0.000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 number is that it corresponds to the historical definition of the meter in terms of two marks on a particular platinum bar kept in Paris. Equally, we can use a more convenient new unit of length called a light second. This is simply defined as the distance that light travels in 1 second. In the theory of relativity, we now define distance in terms of time and the speed of light, so it follows automatically that every observer will measure light to have the same speed by definition, 1 meter per 0.000000000, it is 8 times 0, 333564095 seconds. There is no need to introduce the idea of an ether, whose presence anyway cannot be detected, as the Michelson-Morley experiment showed. The theory of relativity does, however, force us to change fundamentally our ideas of space and time. We must accept that time is not completely separate from and independent of space, but is confined with it to form an object called space-time. It is a matter of common experience that one can describe the position of a point in space by three numbers or coordinates. For instance, one can say that a point in a room is 7 feet from one wall, 3 feet from another, and 5 feet above the floor. Or one could specify that a point was at a certain latitude and longitude, and a certain height above sea level. One is free to use any three suitable coordinates, although they have only a limited range of validity. One would not specify the position of the moon in terms of miles north and miles west of Piccadilly Circus and feet above sea level. Instead, one might describe it in terms of distance from the sun, distance from the plane of the orbits of the planets, and the angle between the line joining the moon to the sun and the line joining the sun to a nearby star such as Alpha Centauri. Even though these coordinates would not be of much use in describing the position of the sun in our galaxy or the position of our galaxy in the local group of galaxies. In fact, one may describe the whole universe in terms of a collection of overlapping patches. In each patch, one can use a different set of three coordinates to specify the position of a point. An event is something that happens at a particular point in space and a particular time. So one can specify it by four numbers or coordinates. Again, the choice of coordinates is arbitrary. One can use any three well-defined special coordinates and any measure of time. In relativity, there is no real distinction between the space and time coordinates, just as there is no real difference between any two space coordinates. One could choose a new set of coordinates in which, say, the first space coordinate was a combination of the old first and second space coordinates. For instance, Instead of measuring the position of a point on Earth in miles north of Piccadilly and miles west of Piccadilly, one could use miles northeast of Piccadilly and miles northwest of Piccadilly. Similarly, in relativity, one could use a new time coordinate that was the old time in seconds plus the distance in light seconds north of Piccadilly. It's often helpful to think of the four coordinates of an event as specifying its position in a four-dimensional space called space-time. It's impossible to imagine a four-dimensional space. I personally find it hard enough to visualize three-dimensional space. However, it's easy to draw diagrams of two-dimensional spaces, such as the surface of Earth. The surface of Earth is two-dimensional because the position of a point can be specified by two coordinates, latitude and longitude. I shall generally use diagrams in which time increases upward and one of the special dimensions is shown horizontally. The other two special dimensions are ignored, or sometimes one of them is indicated by perspective. These are called space-time diagrams. Dear friends, you can visit the book and see these space-time diagrams that we are talking about. As we have seen, Maxwell's equations predicted that the speed of light should be the same whatever the speed of the source, and this has been confirmed by accurate measurements. It follows from this that if a pulse of light is emitted at a particular time, at a particular point in space, then as time goes on, it will spread out as a sphere of light whose size and position are independent of speed of the source. After 1 millionth of a second, the light will have spread out to form a sphere with a radius of 300 meters. After 2 millionths of a second, the radius will be 600 meters, and so on. It will be like the ripples that spread out on the surface of a pond when a stone is thrown in it. The ripples spread out as a circle that gets bigger as time goes on. If one stacks snapshots of the ripples at different times, one above the other, the expanding circle of ripples will mark out a cone whose tip is at the place and time at which the stone hit the water. This is also shown in a diagram in the book. We would know about it only after 8 minutes, the time it takes light to reach us from the sun. Only then would events on Earth lie in the future light cone of the event at which the sun went out. Similarly, we do not know what is happening at the moment further away in the universe. The light that we see from distant galaxies left them millions of years ago. And in the case of the most distant object that we have seen, the light left some 8,000 million years ago. Thus, we look at the universe, we are seeing it as it was in the past. If one neglects gravitational effects, as Einstein and Poincaré did in 1905, one has what is called the special theory of relativity. For every event in space-time, we may construct a light cone. The set of all possible paths of light in space-time emitted at that event. And since the speed of light is the same at every event and in every direction, all the light cones will be identical and will all point in the same direction. The theory also tells us that nothing can travel faster than light. This means that the path of any object through space and time must be represented by a line that lies within the light cone at each event on it. The special theory of relativity was very successful in explaining that the speed of light appears the same to all observers, as shown by the Michelson-Morley experiment, and in describing what happens when things move at speeds close to the speed of light. However, it was inconsistent with the Newtonian theory of gravity, which said that objects attracted each other with a force that depended on the distance between them. This meant that if one moved one of the objects, the force on the other one would change instantaneously, or in other gravitational effects should travel with infinite velocity instead of at or below the speed of light, as the special theory of relativity required. Einstein made a number of unsuccessful attempts between 1908 and 1914 to find a theory of gravity that was consistent with special relativity. Finally, in 1915, he proposed what we now call the general theory of relativity. Einstein made the revolutionary suggestion that gravity is not a force like other forces, but is a consequence of the fact that space-time is not flat, as had been previously assumed. It is curved or warped by the distribution of mass and energy in it. Bodies like Earth are not made to move on curved orbits by a force called gravity. Instead, they follow their nearest thing to a straight path in a curved space, which is called a geodesic. A geodesic is the shortest or longest path between two nearby points. For example, the surface of Earth is a two-dimensional curved space. A geodesic on the Earth is called a great circle and is the shortest route between two points. As the geodesic is the shortest path between any two airports, this is the route an airline navigator will tell the pilot to fly along. In general relativity, bodies always follow straight lines in four-dimensional space-time, but they nevertheless appear to us to move along curved parts in our three-dimensional space. This is rather like watching an airplane flying over hilly ground, although it follows a straight line in three-dimensional space. Its shadow follows a curved path on the two-dimensional ground. The mass of the Sun curves space-time in such a way that although the Earth follows a straight path in four-dimensional space-time, it appears to us to move along a circular orbit in three-dimensional space. Fact: the orbits of the planets predicted by general relativity are almost exactly the same as those predicted by the Newtonian theory of gravity. However, in the case of Mercury, which being the nearest planet to the Sun, feels the strongest gravitational effects and has a rather elongated orbit, general relativity predicts that the long axis of the eclipse should rotate about the Sun at a rate of about 1 degree in 10,000 years. Small though this effect is, it had been noticed before 1915 and served as one of the first confirmations of Einstein's theory. In recent years, the even smaller deviations of the orbits of the other planets from the Newtonian predictions have been measured by radar and found to agree with the predictions of general relativity.